The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 95.1 FM, 100.2 FM, Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the amazing Linda Cloke.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, welcome back. Welcome back. We've got another fantastic guest to talk to in the second half of the show. Do keep your tweets coming. Remember to use the hashtag BBunker so that we can find your tweets. But we've had some good feedback so far.
Yeah, really good feedback.
Yeah, yeah. And we know a bit more about what's happening at Moat Park.
Yes, that's right. And Trace has sent us a lovely little image here that she's done. It's very colourful. Have you seen that?
I saw that, yeah.
Oh, you are very welcome. She's so lovely.
Before the break, I was talking, you mentioned that you've been to Kenwood to the Classic Car Show. Mm. And I was mentioning Kenwood. Well, coming up at Kenwood is the monthly coffee morning. It takes place on the last Thursday of each month. And there's cakes and savouries available. And the next one is this Thursday, the 28th of September. It's 10:30 until 3 p.m. You've no need to book. You just turn up at the cafe at Kenwood Trust, which is Kenwood Road, Yalding, just outside Maidstone. And all of the money raised from that goes towards the charity for keeping the place running. As you can imagine, as a residential home for people with quite complex needs, it's pretty expensive, and we don't get any council funding or anything at all.
But it is amazing there. I mean, some of the people I went with on Sunday, they were absolutely blown away by the building. It's such
it's beautiful.
Fantastic building.
It's a Georgian country house.
It is, and you just don't realise. And a lot of the, we were looking at the radiators because I was wondering if they actually want them, because they're original old radiators and they're absolutely lovely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, the whole, just going there and seeing it and the walks around it as well. One of the other friends I was with had a little dog with her and they walked around the grounds.
You can do alpaca and goat walks, which are really popular. And we also have a thing called disc golf. Hands up anyone that's heard of disc golf. Yeah. Disc golf is a game that involves playing golf with a frisbee, effectively.
Okay.
Yeah, it is interesting because the thing is, it's actually quite big. And now Kenwood Trust is an official, we're an official disc golf course for the Professional Disc Golf Association of Great Britain, would you believe? So we have lots of competitions there from the professionals at it, but as a non-professional, you can come and do that. Great fun. Trying to get a frisbee in a net is what you're basically trying to do. It's good fun. And we do archery and loads of other stuff there too.
Brilliant. We're talking about another event. Thackeray actually putting on an event. They're doing an MBA in a day event, and it's nearly here, so it's going to be on the 11th of October, and it's for a full day of learning, everything you need to know for an MBA course. So you can book the seat. So they've actually got links on X and also on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Who's that again, Linda?
Thackeray Williams, you know that.
I've never heard of him.
I'm sure we have.
And it's a good time for me to introduce myself.
Oh, hello, Nick. What are you doing here?
Oh, it's Nick. Is Nick from Thackeray Williams?
I think so.
Is he? Oh, well, that's handy.
Lovely to be here.
Well,
the MBA in a day is a really good event. It's the second one we're putting on this year, and the first one was really successful. So.
Cool. Well, let's welcome Nick then, as we're talking about Thackeray Williams.
Yeah, I mean, they give so much information, don't they? And it's a fantastic thing for a new business to go to, because there's so much given on that day.
Mm. Yeah, that's the idea, that people start off in business without really realising everything that's involved, from the legal side, the accounting side, the banking side. So we just gather some people together to talk people through it, give them a head start.
Absolutely. It's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, actually, Nick. So let me officially welcome Nick Gabay of Thackeray Williams to the Business Bunker Show for the very first time. Nick, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for joining us. And let's kick off on that. But we normally start with a bit of background to you, but we'll do that in a minute, because you've got a salient point there. And we were talking about this off air earlier, weren't we? Still, in my, this is my view on it. Don't want to put words in your mouth, but I talk to so many people that are starting a business that really don't understand the different types of businesses to start, you know, the difference between a sole trader, a limited company, a company limited by guarantee, a CIA, a CIC, a CIO. There's lots of different legal formations. And my favourite, the LLP, the partnership. Do you know, I am so sad. I am so sad. I spend days arguing with idiots on X about, they go, so-and-so's never paid any corporation tax. It's an LLP. They don't pay corporation tax. Well, they should. No, they shouldn't. It's the rules.
They pay tax, but not corporation tax.
Yeah. Layla's looking concerned here. Shall I explain?
Yes, please.
I'll explain. An LLP is a limited partnership, limited a limited liability partnership. Yeah.
But you also have a limited partnership.
Yeah. It's a limited liability partnership. And what it intrinsically means, I mean, Nick will give you a better explanation than me, but what it means is that the people that run the business are all technically self-employed, so that the profit from the business is divided amongst the partners in the LLP, and then they pay income tax on that. Yeah,
that
it will put me right in a minute.
I could give you the boring detail, but it's a hybrid between a limited company and a partnership.
Okay.
But it is a legal entity of its own right, so it's got the best and worst of both, I suppose.
Yeah, but LLPs don't pay corporation tax. They pay, you know, the individual partners pay tax, yeah. Whereas limited companies pay corporation tax on the profit. That's the difference, yeah. Anyway,
and Nick. Suitability for each vehicle depends on the type of business and what you're doing.
Yep.
What you're doing with your profits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So absolutely, yeah.
And it's never easy how you set out business, because often young entrepreneurs especially don't have much capital behind them, so they want to sort of cut as many costs to start with, but they get too far down the line before it's too late to then switch on to what might have been the best course of action to start with. So I won't ask how you've set up your...
Well, you see, this is one of the things, this is one of the things I was talking to Nick about off air. When people start a business, obviously, they're worried about costs, yeah? Because we haven't earned any money. We're, you know, still trying to start a business, find money to start with. And there are certain legal requirements in terms of insurances and stuff like that, which people always ignore, yeah? They never get their public liability insurance sorted out until they've been up and running for a while, which is really, really stupid, and illegal. But there's also lots of things that you need advice on in terms of the best way to form a company, the best structure of the company, and then things like, if there's more than one of you running the company, a shareholders agreement, for instance. So, Nick, if you wouldn't mind, just give us an overview of some of those issues that you would say need to be looked at when you're first starting up.
Yeah, well, you've mentioned the shareholders agreement, which is the obvious one, and it's very similar to an insurance policy in a way. Mm. You hope you're never going to need it, even though you're spending a bit of money on lawyers to draw up a shareholders agreement. It's hopefully going to sit in the drawer and no one reads it. But it's there because you and your business partner or partners are all friends on day one, hopefully. Mm. But you can't guarantee that will always be the case. Or you might get into a different, not necessarily cease to be friends, but cease to agree on every single step of the way forward. And so the shareholders agreement is there. So you pull it out of the drawer, blow off the dust, and you go, this is what we said we would do when we start disagreeing. And then you've got some sort of mechanism for resolving, not necessarily disputes, but disagreements on how to go, whether you've got a certain majority of the individuals involved who need to vote in favour. Most importantly, probably, is what happens when one of you want to leave. What is the mechanism? What's the value of your shares? What are the circumstances of you leaving? So there are loads of little sort of nuances which you might not think about when you go into business, unless someone is there to tell you, because we've done it before and you guys haven't, or new businesses haven't. So that's what we're really there for, to help them through that.
Absolutely. It's a difficult one, though, isn't it? Because people are euphoric when they start a business and they go, this time next year, Rodney, we're going to be millionaires.
Yeah.
And, you know, me and Layla, we're like that. But, of course, I'm a bit worse than you. I liken it more to a prenup.
Another good one. Yeah.
Yeah, which says, you know, yeah, we're getting married at the moment, but we might just fall out like everyone else does. And if we do, what happens? But people, you know, they go, oh, no, we don't need that because, you know, we're great mates. Well, that will never happen. But it always does.
You know, I have had conversations with clients, new clients, haven't got much of a budget. It's just two people, 50-50 shareholders. I won't be afraid to turn around and say, you know what, save your money for now. Because there are times when you think these guys don't need to spend it.
Yeah.
But you would always say it and say, come back to us once you've got a bit more of a buffer, a bit more of a budget to pay for this. But if you're a 50-50 shareholder, there's only so much that can go wrong. So long as they always keep it in mind that they do need to circle back and say, right, we've got a bit more of a budget now, let's come back.
Yeah. Because you're right, though. It doesn't tend to be people that have had a massive argument over something. It's just a disagreement on the way forward
idea, if the corporate lawyer does his job, it avoids the arguments. I mean, that's really... My wife is a litigator, so I often used to say, if I get things wrong on my document and it ends up in front of my wife, she's going to have a word with me. Because I didn't get the document right.
And you don't want that. Trust me, you don't want that.
Well, I did wonder, why have I married a litigator, someone who argues for a living?
Mistake. I hope you got a good prenup there, Nick.
I just accepted very early that she's always right. I wonder if she's listening. The purpose of a shareholders agreement is really to try and avoid the argument.
Yeah,
because
of course.
In a way, you've kind of resolved it in advance. You've already said this is what's going to happen. Of course, I wish it worked as well as that, because shareholders' disputes will always happen, unfortunately. If you're lucky, they won't. I mean, vast majority of companies get on very well, and they don't actually look at their shareholders' agreement. But in much the same way as when you take out an insurance policy, you really hope you're never going to need to rely on it.
Yeah.
But
the thing is, you never know what's going to come into someone's life. So it could be two people that are friends that have gotten really well. One gets divorced, marries another woman. That woman has an influence on that man that will totally change the whole dynamic of the business.
Yeah.
You know, because of the influence of a third party coming in, and it will change it all.
That's right. But also, rowing back slightly, shareholders agreements aren't always just to govern disputes. They're also an opportunity on how the company can be governed, and you can set out the culture in a shareholders agreement. If you've got a number of employees, it might be an opportunity to think, how are we going to incentivize these employees? Because you cannot underestimate the drive of being an equity owner.
Yeah.
But you might not want to give away equity on day one, so you might consider some sort of share option scheme.
Yeah.
And shareholders' agreements and the articles of association, which is the company's constitution, they can all be tailored so that you can be as flexible as you want with your employees. You can give them shares, you can give them share options, but you still retain control of the company and their shares if you've done it properly. Because the worst thing, which we see all the time, is, we gave 5% to our key sales manager, but unfortunately he's left. How do I get my shares off him? And if it's very easy to give shares away or to issue shares, but very difficult to get them back. Unless you've got something in writing which governs the holding of those shares.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's a key thing where sadly we see it after the event, and then you've got a difficult conversation with that individual because you've got to persuade him to sell his shares back.
And they kind of got you over a barrel a little bit, haven't they? Because they go, well, you're going to have them back for £2 million or whatever. Whereas normally in a shareholders agreement you would have that predefined that says we'll buy them back at book value or whatever.
Depending on the circumstances of them leaving, you'd have they can either be entitled to market value if they stuck around, they've done their job, and everyone's happy and them moving on, or alternatively, if they're leaving under a cloud or they haven't stuck around for a period of time, you just take shares back.
Absolutely. I want to ask you something now, Nick. I need a bit of free advice. Now, I want to ask you something that kind of has been nagging away at me, and I might not have even understood it properly. But when you look at a company, when you form a company, you have to state what the company does, for a business. Okay, and then you also have things that company house run called SIC codes, which are their industry codes. The way that modern life is has two things. A lot of businesses, there isn't a SIC code for, because they've only just been invented.
Social.
And two, a lot of businesses, especially small businesses, are fairly dynamic. You know, they start off doing one thing and they go, well, that's not working. I need to do something else. Yeah. What is actually the legal issues around that, if any, in terms of what you do? I mean, obviously, if you started off, I don't know, as a plumber and suddenly decided you were a bank, yeah, that's got a lot of legal implications. But
well, the SIC code, I'm not sure how binding it is.
Yeah.
For a start, you can have more than one SIC code.
Yeah.
You can have any number of SIC codes when you incorporate or during the life of a company. And actually, I don't think it's called. It's not a SIC code. It's a SIC.
Yeah,
that's sick. Like saying a naan bread.
Yeah. Because the C is for code, isn't it? Yeah.
Apologies for any pedants out there. I know I would be shouting at the radio. So you can have multiple. But I honestly don't know what happens if you change away from what you've told Companies House you're actually doing.
Yeah, I've been in business 30 years and I own 7 businesses. They've never asked me to quantify what that is. what I was more interested in is the articles of association when you state what you do and how fixed that is.
Yeah, the objects clause in the memorandum. So nowadays, new companies can do anything they want.
Right.
It was pre-2006, so you're...
That was me, sort of all of mine. Yeah.
Well, you did have an objects clause which set out what the company can do, and that's why the clause got very, very long.
Right.
It basically said, we will do X, Y, Z, A, B, C, Twitter... Facebook and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the Companies Act says that a company can do anything it wants unless its articles say otherwise.
Right, okay.
Which is a much better way of doing it.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't aware of that because I haven't formed a company for a long time. So, okay, that's interesting. Does that mean we can undo old companies?
Well, actually, you don't need to because the Companies Act... This is getting really technical.
Yeah, no, go for it. I like a bit of technical now and again.
The Companies Act says that any objects clause from a previous... or pre-2006 company is automatically deleted.
Right, okay.
Unless you specifically repeat it in the articles.
Right, okay.
So, and there are exceptions, actually. So charities still require an objects clause for obvious reasons. They have to be governed by the Charities Act and things as well.
Yeah, okay, cool. Interesting stuff. You know, it is important, and I would emphasize this. If you're going to start a business, get some advice. You might think you know what you're doing, but that, you know, as I've just discovered, things change. And I thought I knew a lot about that kind of thing, having done a lot of it, but things change. And if it's not what you do, you know, for a business, you're busy running a business, you need, independent advice. And, you know, for me, that advice is worth every penny that it costs to get it, because it sets you up to do things properly.
Yeah. Anyone entering business needs a good team around them. Mm. A lawyer, an accountant is key.
Yeah.
You know, the accountant, I probably shouldn't say this, but the accountant is probably the first conversation with a professional any new business should have, because they will have a view on how you set up, whether it's through a company or a sole trader or a partnership. You obviously need a good banker on side, a financial advisor, if depending on the sort of money you're talking about and what you do with it, and a lawyer just to hold your hand, because all the advisors have been through it all with many, many clients before.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I mean, I once said on air, I'm going to see my accountant on Friday, and loads of people tweeted in, and, oh, sorry about that. Sorry, what do you mean? And they went, oh, it must be horrible. Oh, why? I like seeing my accountant. They're always really useful. They always really tell me useful stuff. And they go, oh, it's like visiting the headmaster. And no, it's not.
I've never heard that about accountants. I think lawyers usually feature lower down there.
Yeah. Well, we all dislike lawyers. I mean, let's not get carried away here, Nick. You know, I mean.
I'm quite lucky. I mean, again, so using my wife, she's going to be very happy she's getting 2 mentions. She's a litigator.
Right.
And certainly someone going to see her is a distress purchase, isn't it?
Yeah.
No one wants to be in an argument.
Yeah.
So someone seeing a litigation lawyer or a family lawyer often, although not always, it's usually because they have to.
Yeah.
I'm a corporate lawyer, so I like to think that clients want to see me because they want to do something.
Yeah.
So I don't consider myself quite as far down the rung of, oh dear, sorry about that.
Yeah,
so would you say that you are someone that someone would come to before they set up a business and they would say to you, should it be a limited liability part business or should it be an LLP? And you would advise them, or would it be after the accountant has spoken to them and then you advise them?
Before, the earlier the better.
No.
I think it's just as a matter of practice that people would tend to speak to an accountant first. But we work hand in hand with accountants. It's, as I say, it's teamwork, really, of a team of advisors behind every company.
I mean... depending on the type of business you're setting up, quite often you do need to speak to an accountant first because there are things that you need to understand that will inform the way that you set up. You know, so if your business is going to generate a lot of VAT, for instance, or if your business is VAT exempt, for instance, you know, you might incorporate in a completely different way. So you need to kind of understand that. And things like VAT is just, it's just so complicated now. It's unbelievable whether you do, you know, if you're in construction, it's reverse VAT. Coffee shops are a nightmare, Layla. They're a nightmare. If you eat, if you heat the sausage rolls, you charge VAT. If you give it to them cold, you don't.
If you eat in, if you eat out.
Yeah, absolutely. Jaffa cakes, don't even get me started on Jaffa cakes. They're biscuits, you see. Yeah, biscuits, I can't remember which way round it is. Biscuits are VAT-able, cake isn't. So what's a Jaffa cake? It's a biscuit, so it's VAT-able, but it's called a cake, so it's not.
It's amazing how many accountants are going down the route now of advising businesses on. So if you went into an account, some accountants now, they'll actually say, right, what's your plan? And they want to look far ahead. They'd be saying to you, Layla, so what's your retirement plan? When are you thinking of doing this? What's your end goal? And then you're thinking of someone in your 30s, you know, I don't even know what my end goal is. I just want to start my business.
Yeah, and many, many companies are like that. They just have this great idea, so they go straight, full speed ahead to get into it. And I can't remember who it was who told me, but they said their life motto is never go into a room unless you know how you're going to get out. And it's exactly the same with a business.
Absolutely.
What is your end game? And it might be 30, 40 years away, but you need to have it in mind, because if it is a company sale, who are you selling to? And if it's internal, because there's a lot of management buyouts going on, you need to identify that 10 years before you actually leave, because you need to make sure the next generation of management are good enough.
Which is entirely why you need a lawyer in this as well, because all of those things, going to a shareholders agreement and all the rest of it, and, you know, especially if you're investing in a business as an outsider, your goals will be radically different to the founder of the business, most likely. Most angel investors, for instance, are investing over the short term. Yeah. So they go, right, I'm going to put in 50 grand. I want dividends from year two and I want an exit sale in year four. Yeah. Whereas the founder of the business might go, well, I want to run this business for the rest of my life. I want to make it my life's work. And those two things can immediately throw up a conflict, especially if somebody comes along and goes, here's 50 quid for the business or whatever. And the angel goes, yeah, I'll have it. And the founder goes, hold on a minute. No, I don't want to sell. I've actually been there, and that was a nasty, nasty situation where I wanted to sell and the other person didn't, which caused a lot of problems. But, yeah, which is why you need a lawyer, and you just do. Trust me on this. Nick, thank you for that. That's a really interesting overview of the kind of things that we should be aware of when starting a business. We're kind of doing this backwards now because Linda threw us into this.
Sorry.
Didn't you, Linda?
Sorry.
But that's cool. So let's circle back now and start with you. Nick, give us a bit of background into you, Nick, what your background is.
It's a small world, actually, because I was born in Sheerness, and that's how you started.
Were you really? Oh, wow. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm a Sheppy boy, which I don't always volunteer for.
Have you been back recently?
I haven't, no.
Well, I'm going to invite you now to the Dockyard Church at Sheerness, and I'm going to give you lunch there.
Yeah,
and you don't have to eat the Snickers and Nutella toasty. We do other toasties.
So, I mean, that is who am I? That's where I started.
Yeah, cool.
Existence, parents lived in Sittingbourne, but then they went to Hong Kong. My dad was a civil engineer,
right.
Got a job in Hong Kong when I was three.
Wow.
So 2.5-year contract, out we went, and they finally returned in 2000. So I did all of my schooling in Hong Kong.
Wow.
Came back to the UK for university, went to Manchester. I was in Manchester between 91 and 95, so I was bitten by the indie scene. The
okay.
Pop was just starting.
Party so animal.
It was the best intro to English life, because Hong Kong life is very different.
Yeah,
very
for sure.
Cosmopolitan, great cultural, economic differences, which was just terrific to grow up in. I was very privileged. Came back to university, but home was always Kent. Mm. So ended up at another law firm in Kent. Stayed there 20 years.
Right.
And then 2.5 years ago, middle of lockdown, so perfect timing, the opportunity at Thackeray Williams came along to head up their corporate team.
Wow.
And it was just too good an opportunity to let pass, despite the risks of moving mid-lockdown. And it's just been terrific. I mean, in much the same way as Layla, right place, right time, saw the building, I saw this opportunity. Leading a department was never anything I was actively looking for, but it just... They sold it to me, and it's a terrific firm, really forward-thinking partners, and it's been a joy.
Are you based in the Sevenoaks office?
There's a Sevenoaks office. The main office is in Bromley.
Right.
We've also got offices at Sevenoaks, London, and West Wycombe.
Right.
So I spend most of my time in Sevenoaks, but that's just simply because I live in Tunbridge Wells.
Right.
So
okay.
It's closest, but I travel to whichever office needs me, and show my face around all the other offices as well, just to say hello, because it's a really friendly.
Yeah.
Friendly bunch.
So give us a feel for the size of company. Is it a partnership? Yeah.
It's a partnership. Yeah. Yeah. So a limited liability.
I recommend it's
a limited liability partnership. There are, I think it's 150 of us in total, so it's right. Quite a good number. We cover all sorts of types of law, from selling your house, writing your wills. There's an employment team, commercial property team, employment team. Did I already say the employment?
You did.
I did, thank you. The family team, corporate, and I'm sure I've missed some people. There are various different subsets of property, with the residential, leasehold and enfranchisement, and a new build team
right.
as well. So, yeah, we do pretty much what most big law firms do.
Sure.
You are very different in other ways, though. I mean, they do the networking event, organise the networking event,
yeah.
get really heavily involved,
yeah.
do a lot of other sort of different networking events.
Yeah, the networking was a stroke of genius during lockdown. That period where, yes, you could go outside, but you couldn't really mix with too many people, or you couldn't mix inside.
Yeah.
And the local business community were just getting fed up of doing networking on Teams and seeing faces on a screen. So we started networking. Started at Knoll
yeah.
Park, walked for an hour and a half, with people.
The next one's at Chartwell, isn't it?
Chartwell, yeah. Yeah. So we've branched out a bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. We promote that on the radio show every month, the events you do. That networking gets more feedback than all the other events, because you get a group of people going, what's networking then?
Yeah,
well, it's what it is. It's networking, but on a walk. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And people bring their dogs or their kids.
Yeah, it's a really clever idea.
Because it gives people the opportunity, even in the holidays, because normally you'd say, I can't go to that because I've got the children on holiday.
Yeah.
But they can still go on the networking.
Yeah.
So it's really great.
Yeah.
And the property events, property networking events
property
that you do.
Property drinks in Sevenoaks and Bromley and London, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
thank you for mentioning that.
That's right.
Yeah. But no, absolutely. I mean, I'd forgotten about it, even though I read it every week, and that's why I knew that the next one was at Chartwell. You normally do them at Knoll Park, don't you?
Knoll Park, Chartwell, and also The Mount, which is in Shoreham. Lovely venue.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. It's a really clever idea, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, we usually get between 40, 50 people on a good day.
You've had as many as 70 before now, haven't you? I know. I've seen some of the numbers are huge.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Mm. Brilliant. mob start a revolution.
Mob start a revolution. And people have started copying it, haven't they?
They've tried. Well, a lot of people say, why didn't we think of that?
That's
really good. You know you've got a good idea, though, when people do that and go, we're going to do networking now. I've noticed a couple of other groups spring up around the county doing networking.
If you want to walk around Gravesend Promenade, then you can start a house of Layla.
Very good,
So thank you for that, Nick. It's interesting, you know. You're very much an island person, aren't you? Hong Kong or Sheppey, you know, not much difference, actually, is there? A few more sheep on Sheppey than Hong Kong. Funnily enough, my youngest son is supposed to be working in Hong Kong, but of course that's all stopped now because it's a bit dodgy these days.
It's very sad what's happening in Hong Kong.
I was reading, it was 175,000 Hongkongese have arrived in the last year here, which is, we're happy to have them. It's a shame that they have to do that, but
I'm still in touch with a load of people who are out there. My school network is spread all over the world. Lost touch with them when I left school, but then something called Facebook came along, so I'm in touch with them all over again, which is terrific. But yes, it's tough out there. But it's also, it was inevitable, sadly.
And it's a fairly crowded place, Hong Kong, as well, isn't it?
Well, that's the reputation. It's a beautiful area, and there's a lot of greenery. Mm. You just don't see it in the tourist photos.
Cool. My youngest son loves it. I mean, he spent a lot of time there. He was supposed to be based there, but they've had to move him to Kuala Lumpur and Singapore. But he actually lives in Hackney, but travels a lot. Cool. So Thackeray Williams, how long have they been going?
They are the product of a merger, and I should have
a Thackeray and a Williams, presumably.
Thackeray's and Lee Williams got together. I'm going to get told off, but I think it was about 14 years ago.
Right, okay.
Maybe a bit longer. It was traditionally a residential private client firm, and the priority over the last 10 years or so has been to grow the commercial side of the practice.
Right.
Which is why I was brought in to deal with just the purely corporate stuff, but working with the great foundations laid by the employment commercial property team and litigation. I didn't mention litigation earlier when I was going through the practice area, so apologies, David. So they've got great foundations.
He's going to be in trouble when he gets home. When he gets home, I wouldn't like to be anywhere near his house. I really wouldn't. I hope he's got a good legal representation. That's all I can say.
The other thing they're really good at is, from a mental health perspective for staff, I know when I've spoken to the girls, in Thackeray, that they now their offices are smaller because so many of them work from home and they go in the office by department, which is quite interesting.
Yeah.
I think a lot of businesses now are trying to find a new equilibrium, aren't we? We're all working from home, or we all got used to working from home, and there are a lot of people, especially the junior lawyers, who quite like that. And there's a balance, because junior lawyers are those who really should be in the office more to learn by osmosis from the senior lawyers around them. But at the same time, you can't ignore their preference, and so we try to be as flexible as we can. So we do have anchor days, as many other firms do, where everyone's got to be together at least once a week. I'm quite lucky, I'm in a very small department, so if I'm in the office, my team's in the office around me. But we do try to take the whole staff well-being thing very seriously. I was saying to Layla earlier that we do have people come in for, I think it's massages or something, we've got a room. But we also offer what we call a U day, which is where lawyers or even support staff, in fact the support staff take more advantage of it. If you put in an extra 45 minutes at the beginning or the end of a day for 9 days, you can then have a 10th day off. It's like a bonus holiday, because we know that people are already probably working that extra hour, but they're not getting rewarded for it. So we've made it a policy, if you do that 9 days in a fortnight, you can have the 10th day off.
That's great. That's like the KCC used to do. We used to have flexi days. We could have a day at the beginning of the month, day at the end of the month. Made a massive difference.
So that's been popular. But it's just, a lot of firms will say we take the well-being of our staff really seriously, but we've found this is a tangible we're going to walk the walk as well as talk the talk.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I like about your firm is that it's incredibly innovative. You know, without being rude, a lot of law firms are a bit stick in the mud, aren't they, really?
Well, and they're supportive. So, you know, with there's another networking group, the Kings Hill Football Club. They're meeting lunchtime tomorrow. And, you know, they're very supportive that it's a charity networking group. But Thackrays are really supportive. They've got a big presence there.
Well, that's, I was going to kind of tie it back to the things that the Layla's doing as well. They are a very community-oriented thing, you know, with all the support they give to the Seven Oaks Chamber and networking and all those kind of things, and as you say, Kings Hill Football Club. They're a lot of community-based things, heavily involved in things. I think you're heavily involved in the Seven Oaks Business Awards as well, which I'm comparing again this year. My eighth year running.
Well done.
Eighth or ninth. But it's a community-based activity, and that's really brilliant, you know, being a part of the community. But not only that, innovating in the things that you do, you know, with things like networking and what have you, and providing the community of your staff with the wellness things that you do. So, you know, it's a model, it's a way of doing things, isn't it? And it pays dividends.
Yeah, it definitely does pay dividends, because lawyers are all pretty much cut from the same cloth, but we don't want to be that stereotypical lawyer, because people, the reputation of the stereotypical lawyer is probably well deserved. Until you try and step out from that and differentiate yourself. And everyone's seeking, how do you be different? How do you attract the best clients? And I think our answer is just to be ourselves, human beings, rather than boring lawyers. And that's really important to all of us.
I think that's crucial, isn't it? I mean, there used to be a thing many years ago where there was this persona about things, isn't it? That you have to be grey and dull and pinstripe suited and all the rest of it.
I left Hong Kong thinking, if there's one, not knowing what I wanted to do, but I knew I didn't want to be a lawyer.
Cunning plan, Nick. Cunning plan.
So A-levels, go out, drink afterwards, and you'd leave town. Hong Kong had a great nightlife, so you'd leave home, leave town at about 3 o'clock in the morning, and you'd see lawyers coming out of the office,
right,
also going into the same bars you're just going out of. And I just thought, I can't do that. But university happened, all my friends started applying for law jobs. I thought, what am I going to do? So I ended up being a lawyer. But I realized, certainly working in Kent rather than in the city, is that you can be your own type of lawyer. The pressure isn't as high. We value the work-life balance very highly. And actually you can have fun doing really interesting work. And I said when I came in, let's not talk about law too much, let's talk about clients, because that's what drives us. I mean, doing the law, all lawyers will say exactly the same thing, but it's the work we do with our clients. We really enjoy helping them, because they are needing handholding in whatever it is they're coming to us for.
And put me right on if I'm wrong about this, but as a provincial law firm, I would imagine you see a greater range of clients than a city-based law firm that would tend to have, you know, two dozen really big clients, but they're all the same.
Possibly. Definitely. I mean, what we do enjoy is that most of our clients, my clients, are owner-managed businesses. So the person I'm speaking to is the one who has built his baby. And that's a real joy, rather than dealing with there's nothing wrong with dealing with a finance director or a general counsel.
But it's a different animal.
It is a different animal, and I really enjoy helping people who have built something when they come to sell their company, and they're hopefully, well, depending on how young or successful they are, it's probably the only time they're going to go through a process like a sale. And just helping them through, they do their day job, and then suddenly they're dumped with a whole load of legalese. That's what we're here for, and that's why we're here to help.
Nick, fantastic to talk to you. Thank you so much for sharing that story with us and your stories. I'm still blown away with the fact he's an island boy. He kept that quiet, didn't he?
None of us were expecting that, were we?
No, he kept that quiet. He's definitely coming over to Sheerness for lunch now. I'm going to make him. If I've got to do yoga, he's got to come to Sheerness. That's the deal we've got going.
I'd much rather go back to Sheppey.
yeah, me too, actually.
okay, I'll come and hang upside down as well.
I just don't know what yoga is.
Claire. Nick, thank you so much for that.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.
Nick Gabay of Thackeray Williams Lawyers in West Kent and South London. Thank you so much. We haven't got very much longer of the show left, actually, so we're going to have to gabble through the rest of it.
Okay, so Tracy has said, Tracy Ferguson, this is again, what an interesting background, Nick. Sheppy to Hong Kong, wow. A very clear, informative hashtag Bee Bunker interview and some great hints and tips, especially for Paul.
Yeah, you learn something every day on this show, I tell you.
And yes, the Island Works is a fantastic place to visit. The cakes are yummy too, and she's put lots of photos on there of that fantastic.
Yeah, Tracy, bless her, was over in Island Works the other day with her other half, Mike.
Yeah, it's great.
So, Martin Reeves has said, when I started, I haven't read all this, so I'm not sure what he's going to say, actually. When I started Collector's Buddy back in 2004, my accountant in Maidstone were exceptional, bower pounds. I only changed from them when I moved to Ashford in 2011, and no accountant was as good as them. I was gutted when I stopped trading in 2017 as a sole trader. Ah, well, thank you for the heads up on the positive. It's a shame about the negative, but these things happen, don't they? That's Martin Reeves, Collector's Buddy. Thank you for that.
Okay, so I'll just read a couple of these because I'm behind on my these. So, Business Bites, Kent Invicta Chamber, Cash is King, Debt to Collection. During this bite-sized session, come and hear Paul Abdi from Brashers as he will be discussing debt collection and how your company can thrive in uncertain times. Come and explore the issues around debt collection and how to effectively manage your finances. Thursday, 12th of October, 1 to 1pm. And Marsh Breakfast Networking is this Thursday. The next meeting of Marsh Breakfast Networking is at a reasonable time of 7:45 a.m. this Thursday, 28th of September. Book now at marshnetwork.co.uk to ensure your place and enjoy the best breakfast on the circuit. The meeting is at the lovely ship in Dymchurch, a four in a bed winner. In its great location with a reputation for great food and hospitality. Our focus at the meeting is on networking, growing contacts, building relationships, and there will be an opportunity over breakfast to tell us about your organisation. A great full English is on the menu should you require vegan and vegetarian options. Please just email terry@botfield.net after booking to confirm your choice.
Absolutely. You pulled a face at four in a bed there.
I did.
Yeah, that was a Channel 4 reality programme, wasn't it, about bed and breakfasts and Airbnbs and stuff. Yeah, it was a bit like... what's that other one where they
Come dine with me?
That's him. It's like come dine with me, but for B&Bs.
You'd be good at that, Paul, hosting.
Sorry,
you'd be good at hosting Come Dine with Me.
Would I?
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, you got the voice and the jokes for it.
Yeah, trouble is I can't cook.
You just comment on other people's cooking.
Yeah, I just bring a toastie with me from Cool. Apposite to what we were just talking about, startup businesses and the rest of it, almost 500,000 new startup businesses have already been launched this year, 2023, and registered with Companies House, new figures show, suggesting the cost of living crisis hasn't diminished entrepreneurship in the UK. 463,700 businesses were registered between January and July 2023. That's nearly 500,000, as it said earlier. According to the latest figures available from the Small Business Support Platform, a membership organisation, Enterprise Nation, 784,762 businesses were registered at Companies House in 2022, almost 30,000 more than in 2021, and 114,000 more than recorded annually pre-pandemic. Pre-pandemic. In 2019, 670,575 businesses were registered. So loads of new startups. Of course, we are losing businesses too, which is always sad, but, you know, the attrition rate is quite high on small businesses for all kinds of reasons, but it's good that we're still forming new ones.
Yeah, so talking of startups, sorry, after you, Nick.
I was only going to say, I think you mentioned lockdown. I think that had a big impact on
that.
A lot of people were at home thinking, what do I want to do with my life? Because I like my job, but I don't like it that much.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That had a massive effect. I own Jobs in Kent, the recruitment portal. It killed us because everybody stopped working. It was termed the great I quit, because people had been furloughed and were sent home and paid 80% of their salary. They got out of the habit of working.
And it's a great opportunity to start your own business.
5 million people never went back to work after furlough. 5 million people.
Wow.
We have 1.2 million unfilled job vacancies right now.
Unbelievable.
I know a few people could do one of those. Right, okay, talking to startups, a startup session with GeoBrand, a brand new cohort for autumn 2023. Four sessions designed to develop your startup business into a powerful and sustainable brand identity. The Geo team will guide you through the key stages of launching a powerful and sustainable brand and digital presence. Free workshops fortnightly starting from October 19th at 10 a.m. The Business Terrace Maidstone. Details are on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Fantastic, thank you. Maidstone Skate Park ramps get a revamp. Maidstone Borough Council has worked with a group of youngsters to revamp the skate park ramps at the Green Flag award-winning Watman Park this summer. Young people from Maidstone were invited by Maidstone Borough Council to take part in a design workshop where they came up with skateboarding terms and themes for the new artwork. The art session was led by local street artist Graham Upton, who taught basic techniques in how to create bespoke letters and designs. Seven youngsters spent at least one day each working with Graham to bring their ideas to life on the skateboarding ramps in Watman Park, learning how to use spray paints to create large-scale designs. All four of the main ramps received colourful new artworks, giving a fresh and vibrant look to the park. The project was funded through the National Safer Streets campaign and is one of several initiatives carried out during the summer by Maidstone Borough Council to engage young people with different art forms and creative projects. So, fantastic. Go and take a look at it if you're in the Maidstone area.
That sounds really good. Mm. And we have one here, Networking Chartwell. This event welcomes local businesses and individuals to network face-to-face, offering an opportunity to build valuable business relationships whilst enjoying a lovely walk and talk. The walk will take around an hour with lunch provided by Thackeray Williams Solicitors. Meet outside the cafe at Chartwell on September 29th at 10:30. All the details are on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
And I'll make a note to be there as well, so I look forward to seeing some of you.
Yeah, cool.
That'd be great.
Come along and say hello to Nick.
Yeah, super.
Another Marsh Network event coming up. This one's in East Sussex. The next meeting of the Marsh Network East Sussex is at Pet Village Hall at 10:30 a.m. on the 3rd of October. So there's lots of networking going on the Marsh. Again, it's Terry Botfield and his group, but it's the East Sussex version. And you can find out all about it by going to marshnetwork.co.uk. So that's the Marsh Network East Sussex at Pet Village Hall, 10:30 a.m. on the 3rd of October.
And we have another entrepreneur here, 36-year-old businessman Rich Martin is toasting the launch of his latest venture. He's come up with his own brew, which he'll be serving up in his inflatable pub. Got an inflatable pub. Can we jump up and down?
Yeah. Have you seen it? It literally is an inflatable pub.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
You have to blow it up with, a pump.
Thirsty villagers in All Hallows near Rochester were left high and dry when their only pub, the British Pilot, closed during lockdown. So Rich came up with a novel idea of a blow-up pub where they can have a pint close to home at the recreation ground where he opens up every Friday night. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, well, it's business people, isn't it? You just come up with random ideas.
The lawyer in me is just fearful.
Yeah. I hope you've got good insurance, yeah. Mind you, I suppose if it's full of drunks and they start bouncing about, it's reasonably safe as long as they take their shoes off.
I think the word is messy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, dear. So another one here, Kent and Medway Business Summit, 12th of January 2024, bringing together business, academia and strategic partners. You can be part of the conversation. Book early to secure your ticket here. Receive £10 off the ticket price if you purchase before the end of September.
That's a really great event. I think it's about 7 years running now. The Kent and Medway Business Summit at the University of Kent at Canterbury. It's normally incredibly well attended. There's 400 or 500 people. And it's people from government, both central and local government, other NGOs and businesses talking about the future, talking about, you know, where we're going, what's happening, what's hot and what's not, basically, in the county in terms of business. I remember a couple of years ago they had a big session on transport, and there were people from the rail companies came along who were going on and on about railways and da-da-da-da, until somebody stood up and asked exactly why there are no north to south railways in Kent. They're all run west to east. And they were kind of stumped. And I said, but, you know, if you're in Tunbridge Wells and you want to go to, you know, Medway or something, you can't do it by train without going around in big circles. Nobody had an answer why that is. But it's very true, you know.
It's the same with roads as well.
It is,
the infrastructure in Kent is a challenge.
Yeah. They all run west to east, don't they? Nothing runs the other way. It's north to south. It's all west to east.
I've never even thought about it, have you?
Yeah.
Well, there are two motorways, aren't they? And they both run parallel along the top.
Yeah. They do, yeah.
I had a delightful drive across the country today, rather than going up and across and down again, coming from Tunbridge Wells. But it was slow.
Round through Tenterton and that way?
Yeah.
I didn't get as far as Tenterton, though. I went through Goudhurst and then turned up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's odd,
and it also throws up real anomalies. If you take a map and you look at Medway and Tunbridge Wells, for instance, they're not that far apart. They're only a few miles, okay? West Kent struggles like mad to get employees. They really struggle like mad. Medway has loads of people looking for a job, but you can't get between the two places. It's just bonkers. Mm. Yeah, it's really bonkers. It's like Romney Marsh. Romney Marsh has the highest unemployment in Kent. Exactly 12 miles away is Ashford, which can't get staff for love nor money. There is no public transport between the two. I spent ages lobbying Kent County Council to put on buses. Yeah, and they go, no, it's not worth it. Yes, it is. It really is. Trust me. It really is worth it, because you've got all these unemployed people on the island that want a job. And 12 miles away, you've got a thriving town that needs lots of employees. Yeah. All you need is a bus between the two. Yeah. Do you know what they came up with? Hire a moped.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah, okay.
Right, I have another one, have I got time?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, a new adventure centre giving children the chance to play at being grown-ups has been opened in a long empty unit in the town centre. Little Land has started welcoming customers at the site at Park Mall Shopping Precinct in Ashford, which was previously an Adams and a Christmas pop-up. Owners Natasha Miller and Susie Winchester decided to leave their teacher jobs at Bradbourne Primary School to take on the new venture together. The pair say role-playing is important to children and their learning, and they're excited to bring something different to the town.
Cool. The Channel Ports Limited opened a community fund with the Kent Community Foundation. After supporting grassroots charities for some time by making regular donations to experienced grantmakers, Kent Community Foundation, Hythe-based Channel Ports Limited has decided to set up their own philanthropic fund. The new philanthropic fund, that's not easy to say that, philanthropic fund, will be known as the Channel Ports Community Fund and will award grants to small charities and community groups that operate within Kent Community Foundation's five funding priorities, which are children, young people and families, vulnerable adults, elderly and isolated, employability skills and enterprise and environment. The Channel Ports Community Fund will award grants of £4,500 to small charities and deserving causes where a modest sum of money can make a significant impact. Awards will be made quarterly, with the first grants expected to be made in October 2023. To contact Kent County Foundation, Kent Community Foundation about funding for charities, you can go to their website, which is kentcf.org.uk/funding, or you can drop them an email to Amy, A-M-A-M-Y, at kentcf.org.uk. And if you want to find out about Channel Ports, channelports.co.uk.
Fantastic.
There you go. Have you got anything else?
I have got one more.
We haven't got time to read it.
Okay.
Because we're at the end of the show. I want to say a huge thank you to our two fabulous guests, Leila Ramadan and... I don't know why I'm laughing. I started thinking about hanging upside down there. And Nick Gabbay of Thackeray Williams, thank you so much. I'm not going to hang upside down. I might come and do the yoga, but I'm not going to hang upside down.
Thank you very much for having us.
It's an absolute pleasure, and you were a brilliant guest. Thank you so much. To my amazing co-host, the lovely Linda Cloak.
Thank you.
To everybody that tweeted, emailed, and joined in, thank you so much. We'll be back with another show next week. Stay safe, everybody, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye
for now.
Bye.
Bye.